And Psalms 32 this morning. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to share the Word. Thankful that there's something about that name, the name of Jesus. The Bible tells me there's salvation in no other than the name of Jesus. And this morning, that's who we're going to uplift and glorify, is the name of Jesus. Psalms 32 this morning, we're going to read this chapter, 11 verses. And title this morning, one question for you, I want you to think about. Do you have it covered? Do you have it covered? We're going to be talking about sin and the cover-up of sin, and you'll see when we read these verses, maybe you'll try to understand as I did just exactly what I mean by that. So if you would stand with me, we'll read these 11 verses and ask the Lord to take it and use it. Psalms 32 verses 1, we'll read through 11. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Verse 5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." In the last verse, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the power of the living God. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this worship that we've had. Oh God, there's nobody else to worship other than you. There's nobody that we could be saved other than in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you go before us and you go behind us and you are right beside us. Thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you, God, that you've covered us. And I pray you'd speak this morning, for it's in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Your first verse we read in Psalms 32 talks about a covering. And we're looking at the question this morning, do you have it covered? As we read Psalms 32, we look through these verses, we're going to see that sin is either covered up by us or it's covered by God. It's either covered up by us or it's covered by God. What that would mean is a cover-up. Everybody knows, everybody's heard the term a cover-up. And that would mean a cover-up is a conceal of evidence of wrongdoing. You would conceal evidence of wrongdoing. And everybody in this room knows or should know that every person in this room has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. And it's our job to either conceal it or to confess it. We got two options. We either hide it down in our hearts and we try to hide it and hide from God and we try to cover it ourselves, or we confess it and God covers it. And that's what the psalmist is telling us this morning. And I want to look at two scenarios this morning. We're going to look at the man. It's the same man. We'll look at David, but he had two different times in his life. One time is when he was covering it, when he was hiding, when he was holding out on God. And then we'll look later on in what he done when he finally confessed and God covered it. Let's look at the first few verses here. What happens when sin is covered up? The bad news is all of these points are bad points. Because when you cover your sin, it leads to bad things. So look with me in verse number 3. First thing we see, as David saw, is he experienced pain in his life. Verse number 3, When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. So when he covered his sin, he knew he had trespassed against God. And we know that, as this first verse says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There's two different words for sin in that verse. Number one is the term we all know, sin. And the second term, as we should know, is a transgression. There's a little bit of a difference. A sin is something that you would do that's wrong. A transgression is something that you willfully do wrong. A great example of this, I've got a young man in the congregation. I won't mention his name because he told me not to mention his name. But I asked him and I said this, what is something your parents told you to stop doing but you continued to do? He told me, first thing come to his mind, his parents used to tell him to stop picking his nose. Well, okay. So he's picking his nose. His parents didn't like it. It's wrong. They say, hey, I need you to stop picking your nose. That's a sin. That's the example. Picking your nose is not a sin. It may not be a sin. I don't know. Anyway, that's a little example. He said, hey, I need you to stop picking your nose. They command you to stop. Well, he just gives a little grin and just sticks that finger back up in his nose. That's considered a trespass. You willfully do it when you're told not. Does that make sense? It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Not only just real sin, not only sin that's minor as we think, but God forgives sin that I willfully do. Amen? Ain't that a blessing? It says, blessed is the he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. If you look at that first word, it says blessed. Another translation is, oh, how happy. How happy that man is that God would forgive him. What a difference. It's the same man, but what a difference between verse 1 and verse 3. I can just kind of interpret what it means in verse 3. In verse 1, he was, oh, how happy. Verse 3 is, oh, how sad. Oh, how sad it is to have sin in your life that you will not confess. And I think you'd agree with me if you've been through this in your life. Uncovered sin is a sad place to be. When you don't confess it to the Lord, there is pain in your life. Verse 3 says, when I kept silence, the psalmist is telling us he had inner pain. Most of us, we have pain on the outside that people can see, but David's saying, when I did not confess my sin, I had pain deep down. And that's what sin brings you. People may not see it on the outside, but they can't look on the inside, but God does. And he sees what's on the inside in our hearts. If there's something in our life that we know we've done wrong, we need to confess it to the Lord. Because if we don't, the Bible tells me it brings inner pain. He says, when I kept silent. I love that word, kept. That means he grabbed a hold and he pushed it down when it should have came up. That's what we must do. We must let it loose. Instead, he says, I kept it silent. He had inner pain. He had mental pain. He said, my bones waxed old. David literally felt like he was getting older. The stress and the anxiety that had sin deep down in his heart, he felt like he was dying. You ever felt that way? You ever felt God press on you so much that you could not get off and you could not get him off you? I hope you have, man. I hope you have. Because that pain tells me that God's working. That mental pain, he felt weaker. And that word is a irritation. He said, my bones waxed old. He was irritated. And his soul was irritated because sin was deep down. It goes on to say he had emotional pain. It says in verse 3, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And that roaring is a human cry. He was crying because he would not confess. And God was bringing pain on him, trying to ask for forgiveness. And that's what God's doing in your life. And you may be reading these verses this morning, and you say, well, what's going on in this man's life is going on in my heart. Maybe there's pain in your heart. I've got good news. You must confess, and the Lord will forgive. Because without confession and without repentance, the Bible tells me there's pain. Look with me in verse number 4. We see in verse number 4 there's pain and there's also pressure that God puts on an individual. Verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. And David's saying, it didn't matter if it was the morning, it didn't matter if it was the evening, I felt God pressing me because of what was deep down on the inside. What nobody else saw, I knew, but I wouldn't give it up. Is that going on in your life this morning, that God would give pain, but me would press and press and press? It didn't matter what time of day it was. It didn't matter who you were talking to. God was pressing you to get right with Him. It says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. That weight and that burden of unconfessed sin in his heart. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, that pressure. Look what it also says in verse number 4. It says, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He experienced pain, experienced the pressure of God, but he felt parched. Everybody know what parched is? Lack of moisture. Says in verse 4, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what the number one cause to a dry Christian life is? Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. At one point in your life, you may have been on fire for the Lord. Now you find yourself kind of dry, kind of parched, wishing you were where you used to be. David experienced the same thing. He said, used to, I had moisture. Used to, I felt God. But now I'm dry. And it's my own fault because I won't give up. And he said that parching, he had that unconfessed sin on the inside. He felt dry. He used to feel like a follower of God, but now he feels far away from God. It says, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. This morning I've got good news and I've got bad news. The bad news is that unconfessed sin leads you nowhere. It brings pain, brings pressure, and it leaves you parched. But I'm thankful that God pushes me. This morning you may be experiencing these three qualities of a person with sin down in the heart. But I've got good news. That means God's working on you. God's working on you. He hasn't given up on you. And He hasn't given up on me. I love the example of this. The psalmist said, hey, yes, I felt pain. Yes, I felt pressure. Yes, I was parched. But that means that God was working on me. And this morning, God may be trying to work on you. Look at this little example, and it gives me another example that we think of. I'm sure you've heard of how diamonds are made. Diamonds are made with two qualities. Number one, the quality of extreme heat. Quality number two is pressure. Extreme heat and pressure. David said, hey, I was dry and I was pressed. And that pain was pushing on me. But that led to a diamond. And that's what happens in the natural world. When you press and when you experience heat, that diamond is created. Maybe God's trying to make a diamond in somebody this morning. Maybe He's just trying to press, and maybe He's pushing so you would get right with Him and ask Him into your heart, or get right with Him and get back to where you used to be. What about that? What if God's trying to work something for you good? Ain't that crazy? That God's trying to work things for the good. That's what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for the good to those who love God. And even if it's pain, and even if it's pressure, even if you're parched, God may be working on you. The psalmist didn't leave us there. Well, those were the qualities of a person with unconfessed sin. He had a cover-up in his life, and he wouldn't bring it out in the open. David also tells us of a time when he finally confessed to his Lord. Verse number 5 are the qualities. And the question I've asked, what happens to a person when you uncover that sin and God covers it? That's what happens. When you finally give it to the Lord, He's the one that takes care of it. And here's the qualities. Verse number 5, first quality is peace. Man, there's so much peace. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression upon the Lord, or unto the Lord. That peace finally comes to that man's heart. Yes, I felt bad. Yes, I felt pain. But I finally gave up, and God gave me peace. And maybe this morning you need peace in your life. Maybe there's some kind of roaring down on the inside that you know that you need to get right with the Lord. That's not by coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. That's an Almighty God working on the heart. And that's what He does. He does that surgery on the heart. And when He finally gave up, He felt a peace that passes all understanding. The Bible tells me in Philippians 4, verse 7, it says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When he had unconfessed sin in his life, his heart and his mind were raging. His heart and his mind felt pressure. His heart and his mind felt pain, but he gave it to the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, God gave him a peace that passes all understanding. That peace doesn't come from the world. That peace doesn't come from you or me. It comes from Jesus Christ. And you may be working all your life to gain peace, but I've got good news. You've got to confess, because Jesus is the only way to peace. Finally gave up, and he finally gave peace in his life. It also says in verse number 5, he gained peace, but he gained a pardon. And I thank God for that. Psalms 32. Verse 5, he gained a pardon. Says this, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Here it is. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Ain't that a blessed verse? I was wrong. I would not confess. I would not give in. I covered up my sin, but I finally gave it to God, and He took care of it. I finally gave it to the Lord. I finally uncovered what was hidden, and Jesus forgave me. That pardon that you get, what used to be held against you, is no longer between you and God. That's why he felt pain and pressure. And he felt parched because there was something between he and God. It was sin. And something, you may feel a little bit of separation between you and God this morning. That's called sin. But David said, I finally confessed and I gained the peace. and I gain the pardon, and the only way to gain a pardon is you've got to give in. Only way to get that pardon, the only way for the Lord to forgive it is you've got to confess it. As long as David hid it, it wasn't forgiven, but he finally gave it to the Lord and it was forgiven. That pardon that we must have, we must accept that pardon that God gives. A little worldly example, I'm sure you've heard of it, is a man by the name of George Wilson, 1833. That was before our time, I'm sure. 1833, he had stole mail from the U.S. of A. Stole the mail, endangered a mail carrier, 1833. They were going to hang him. President Andrew Jackson decided he was going to give a presidential pardon to that man. And that would mean that no matter what you done, no matter what your conviction was, it's taken off. You're no longer judged by what you did. They told the man, they told Mr. Wilson, they said, hey, the president has gave you a pardon. And he says, I will not take it. He says, I won't take that pardon. I'm going to be punished for what I did. I'm not that man. I'm not that man's situation. But I don't think that man was smart. Because he was convicted and he was punished. And the Bible tells me the only way I can gain the pardon of forgiveness is I've got to accept what God gives. He's given me a chance to be forgiven, and the only way I can do that is call upon His name and ask for forgiveness. The Bible says in verse 5, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Another great verse to reference this is Psalms 5, verse 8. We see the peace, we see the pardon, but we also see that there's a path that God gives you. When you finally get back right with the Lord, He gives you that straight and narrow path. The Bible says in Psalms 5, 8, lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. Go with me down in Psalms 32, verse 8, talking about that path. I've got good news. When you confess, God restores your path. He doesn't leave you off on the wayside. He picks you back up and He leads you down the right path. Excuse me. Psalms 32, 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you. I will guide thee with mine eye. Those words, I will. Those are promises. David said, I gave up. I confessed. God gave me peace. He gave me a pardon. And now He's restored my path. I love what this verse tells me because it doesn't tell me that God will give me a great path. It doesn't tell me God's going to give me an okay path. It tells me He's going to give me the best path. The path that I couldn't do when I had sin in my life. He said, I will instruct you and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I got a rhetorical question for you this morning. Do you want your path or do you want an Almighty God's path? Do you want a path that you make or do you want a path that God takes care of? We follow the Lord, we do our best. But the God takes care of the sin that was unconfessed in my life. It says there was peace and there was a pardon and there was a path. And I'm thankful for that path. Look with me in verse 11. We're going to see the final quality of a person who's finally confessed. We read Psalms 32. We know that the psalmist David wrote Psalms 32 and he talks about how he finally gained his praise back. Psalms 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I love this psalm. Verse 1, he says, oh, how happy. Get down to verse 3, oh, how sad, because sin was in his life. And he finally admitted, he finally uncovered, he finally confessed. And guess what? He got his praise back. He says, I will rejoice. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And I kind of want you to think about David for a minute, the story of David, the life of David. We know that David was anointed king when there was already a king on the throne. We know that David, I love this, David was recognized to come into the king's court because of his music, because of his singing, because of his worship to the Lord, because of his praise. 1 Samuel 16, he goes into the presence of Saul and soothes his heart through David's music. This man was a man of worship. All he done, all these psalms were written by music and praise and thanksgiving. But this man's whole life was destroyed for a few moments through unconfessed sin. He couldn't praise. He couldn't worship. He couldn't thank God because sin was in his heart. That's what happens in our life. When sin's deep down and we won't confess it, we can't praise Him the right way. We can't thank Him the right way. We can't worship Him the way we should. But he finally got it back. And he ends this psalm with praise. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. God loves praise. There's no other name I should praise. There's no other person, there's no other being, there's no other God that will take my filthiness, that will take my sin, that will take my iniquity. He's the only one that will forgive it. Thank you, Jesus. It tells me he finally gained his praise back. God loves praise. The Bible tells me, book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, says this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. David gets out of this. He remembers how he used to feel, the pain, the pressure, the pardon, all these things he used to feel. He confesses, and he gains so many great qualities back in his life. And this morning as we close, somebody in this room may have the same troubles. May have something deep down that you may not want to confess. Something deep down that you may not want to let out. The Lord's the only person you got to confess to. Because if I confess it to anybody else that doesn't forgive me, it's good to let your heart out and tell other people. The Bible tells me confess your faults one to another. But the Bible tells me the way to be forgiven is to confess it to God. Confess it to the Lord. And sometimes we hide that sin. Nobody may know it. Nobody may see it. But it's on the inside. The Lord's gave me a little demonstration this morning. You look at me and you think, man, this guy, I've got compliments about my tie the whole morning. Thank you for that. Holly picked it out, of course. So, looking good, looking spiffy, whatever you want to call it. But what people don't understand is what you can't see. And so this morning before I came to church, what I did is I took my coat and I had this on my back the whole time. What does that say? Sin. Take that off for me. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Sin. I've talked to 100 people this morning. I've smiled. I've rejoiced. I've been glad. But what was on the inside? Sin. You can't hide it from God. Church, this right here will destroy you. This right here is no good for your life. And without Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you'll have that on the back the rest of your life. You've either got two scenarios this morning. You're either in a place in your life where you're saved, you're doing great, following Jesus. Amen. There may be some people in this room that may be sin in their life. Where it's hidden by all. Nobody can see it. Nobody can hear about it. Nobody. What do you do about that? You confess to an Almighty God. You ask the Lord to forgive you and you repent of your sins. Last verse I want to leave you with, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Bible tells me, if I confess my sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing, but I know one thing. Sometimes sin gets inside. And if sin's in that heart this morning, you need to confess it to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can forgive. He's the only one that can accept you. And I've got good news. If you'll confess it, He'll forgive it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to worship You. Thank You, Jesus, for this morning. Thank You that You love us. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord, Father. There's things going on in our lives that people may not know about. But I pray that You would just pierce the heart this morning. God, I pray if there's somebody in this room that's got unconfessed sin, I pray You'd bring it to the light. And I pray they'd ask for forgiveness this morning. Father, thank You for this time. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.